The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to your mailbag for July 4th. We are recording on Friday, July 1st. If you're on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, you can watch it before it airs in the podcast feeds. I am Adam Azer. Happy 4th of July, everybody. For those of you who are not watching before the show publishes officially, hope you're having an awesome three-day weekend and a great, great holiday. Joined by Jamie Eisenberg, Heath Cummings, and our new Dave, Dave Costello, who we're going to tell you about in just a second. Heath, what are you grilling 4th of July?
Absolutely nothing. I'm very happy to report that the Deerfield Beach 4th of July bash is back on. It's been off for a couple of years for obvious reasons. And so we will go over to the beach about noon and sit there for 10 hours, probably throw the Frisbee a little, go to Brew's Room, have a meal, may have a couple of drinks.
Maybe.
And then watch fireworks over the ocean.
Jamie, one 4th of July staple. You had to have one thing.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, it's got to be hot dogs, right? I mean, you could say burger, but it's got to be hot dogs.
I thought the answer was going to be fireworks.
And watching Joey Chestnut, of course.
And watching Joey Chestnut. Now, that is your new Dave, at least for today. Dave Costello helped us out in a big way.
Probably make better dynasty trades.
I actually like the dynasty trade that Dave Richard made. Go ahead. Reveal the one where he got the first round pick.
Well, Heath did because he traded with Heath.
Okay, Heath.
Well, yes, I would say Dave, the second trade Dave made whether the first trade was a good trade or bad trade, not really matter because now we both won. But
he recovered well from the bad trade.
Dave traded me pick number 4 for pick number
rookie
11, 15, and 22.
Rookie only draft, 11, 15, and 22 for pick 4.
Those picks turned into Christian Watson, Zamir White, and Ty Davis Price for Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
But Dave didn't pick Christian Watson. He traded the Christian Watson pick for a 2023 first.
Ah. Well, I guess I don't like it then. Maybe I do. Obviously, it depends where that one lands. But Drake, so he gave up Drake London, was it? Who's that? Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson for...
Could have been Jameson Williams, who he's high on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But the other trade that he made, which I think was worse, was he traded Tyler Boyd for, I think, just the third round pick in this year's rookie draft.
But that's IDP too, right? In the draft?
Yeah, but still. Okay. This draft is terrible.
Oh, man. This.
And then he tried to defend it by saying this class is deep, which is just ridiculous.
The IDP discussion, we won't do it today because we've got other things to do, but
do.
I would like to go on like a 10-minute rant about valuing defensive fantasy points.
Okay.
And, ugh.
All right. Well,
people don't do it enough.
I think people don't do it enough.
Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We will have a lot of your emails, including our favorite player to take at their ADP this year, who we refuse to leave our draft without. How to project a team like the Broncos, where they have a new head coach, a coordinator, a new quarterback. How to draft in larger leagues, salary cap drafts, things like that. But I want to introduce Dave Costello. He's a listener of the show who wanted to help me out with a project. Started fantasy points. What percentage of a player's total fantasy points in the regular season, weeks 1 through 14, not fantasy playoffs, were on the bench, and what percentage were in your starting lineup? And can we learn anything from this? I didn't really have time to do it, so Dave took the reins and did the whole thing. And I'm very appreciative of that, Dave. So welcome to the show. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate being on. And, I love listening to you guys, especially around this time of year. I usually head down Cape Cod, and I got my fantasy football magazine, CBS, of course, and getting sandy by the beach. So thanks for having me on. It's a big thrill. Happy to be here. And this was a fun project to work on.
Did you find it useful?
I did find it useful. So basically, you know, what this will tell you, starting fantasy points, actual starting fantasy points, it'll give you guys that you can get a little bit lower down for some good value. You know, it's a metric that Adam and I worked on, you know, and what players were underutilized or not started as much that actually put up some pretty good points. You know, so for example, Patrick Mahomes, he's putting up 41 points, and, you know, across the board, CBS, you know, 99% is starting Patrick Mahomes. So he's getting 41 points. But what about the guy, like, I'm going to give it away a little bit, but Kirk Cousins, quarterback, who's putting up 40 points, but you only have 50% of owners starting Kirk Cousins. So his actual starting points would be 20. So I took a look at that data point. I kind of averaged it across the 14 fantasy football weeks, as Adam said. And so I highlighted a guy at each position that you can get later if you're waiting on that position that actually delivered underutilized fantasy points in 2021, and they're also entering into an even better offensive situation in 2022.
And Cousins was your quarterback.
So, yeah, Kirk Cousins for quarterback, basically 39% of his points were used in 2021. You know, 137 points out of his total 352 points in the 14 weeks. And you compare that, to be honest, to Mahomes. You know, Mahomes during those 14 weeks was 362 points. So, it goes to show you that you can find some value with Cousins. You know, he's a good quarterback that you can get late. And, you know, he was the QB9 last year, and he's entering into a situation. He's got a new coach in Kevin O'Connell coming over from the Rams as the offensive coordinator there, who really turned Stafford around. And he's looking for that same success with Cousins. And I actually came across a stat that was really interesting that compared Stafford and Cousins in their first 120 starts. And Cousins actually has Stafford beat out. They both have around 33,000 passing yards. Cousins had a 67 completion percentage compared to 61.6% for Stafford. Cousins had 219 passing TDs compared to 208 for Stafford. Only 87 interceptions for Cousins, 114 for Stafford, and a total passer rating of 99 versus 87. So I think things are trending upward for Cousins. Again, you're not going to draft him early, but if you're waiting at the quarterback position, you know, you get Jefferson in his third year. I think he's more comfortable. I feel like they might pump the brakes a little bit with Dalvin Cook. You know, he didn't have the best end of the year, and I think Madison might get some more carries. So,
well, Dave, let me, so the thing is, you know, Cousins is the kind of guy that I would expect to be pretty low and started fantasy points based on years past, because he's always drafted as maybe a high end number two, or maybe you waited a really long time, but you're sometimes looking for better options. But Jamie, maybe this is the year where people just plug Kirk Cousins into their lineup. I know you like him a lot, and they don't worry about having another guy, you know, like he's just a starter, end of story.
I'm going to guess that does not happen early in the majority of leagues, because especially what we're seeing with average draft position now, like, for example, Rodgers is going ahead of him. I think, you know, Cousins and Carr is going to be heavily debated because of, you know, the upgrades that Carr got and coach and talent around him. And then we still have to see where Trey Lance settles, you know, especially if they move on from Garoppolo in San Francisco, he'll be in the starting conversation. So there's probably, you know, 3 to 5 guys that are going to be in the Cousins range. But I think if he gets off to a good start, I hope he gets off to a good start, because I agree that he has a chance to have a special season. Then I think he kind of settles into a weekly starter. You know, I don't think he'll ever be a 90 to 100% started guy, because I just don't think that most people will still continue to view him that way. But my guess is he'll be above 80%, and that'll end up maybe being close to a career high in terms of his fantasy start percentage for the people that track those things.
Well, so I want to talk about maybe the running backs here. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'm trying to scroll so you can see some of the data here. So again, we only used the first 14 weeks. We didn't use the fantasy postseason. So many teams are eliminated at that point that the start percentages don't really matter as much. But what I noticed is the guys who were like pretty low, Devin Singletary, that makes sense. Guys who come on strong late, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, very low and started fantasy points. But Damian Harris, Melvin Gordon, even James Conner was kind of low. If you're in a shared backfield, people might not know what to do with you, and they might leave you on the bench in a good week or start you in a bad week or maybe just get it right every time. But that is something that needs to be considered. But David, who did you want to?
Actually, you mentioned him. I got James Conner. He was used in 66% of the league, and that percentage obviously went up through the 14 weeks, and his draft value is going to reflect that, obviously. But again, he had 212 points compared to Eckler's 262 and Harris 233. So, those are first round guys. And a Connor, you can get, what would you guys say, third or fourth? And he's, mm-hmm. again, you talk about a situation where Chase Edmonds is off to Miami. He's no longer there. I don't see Darrell Williams from coming over from the Chiefs being much of a threat. He's coming off a new 3-year extension for $20 million. And so the Cardinals, have faith in him. And I also think another thing to point out is Hopkins being out for the 6 games to start off the season. They could lean a little bit more on the run.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to think about. James Conner scored 18 fewer fantasy points than Leonard Fournette, but he had 60 fewer started fantasy points than Leonard Fournette. Fournette was started in 87% of Fournette's fantasy points were started, only 66% of Conner's. Let's go to wide receiver here, and you tell me the guy who really stands out to you. I have a hope of who it will be. All right, go ahead.
Wide receiver, I have Mike Williams.
Yes. Yes.
Is that who you're thinking?
Yes, and I have a point to make about Mike Williams, but go
so
for it. 62%.
He came in at 62%. Only 124 of his 200 points were used. And again, you compare that to Tyreek Hill, 256 points. He's not far behind. He's coming off his best year, his best season, 1,146 yards, 9 touchdowns, 76 catches. And he's also coming off a freshly signed 3-year, $60 million contract. So it shows you what the higher-ups are thinking about the Herbert to Williams connection in the coming years. So, I don't know what round you guys think you can get him at, but I think he is a tremendous value a little bit later in the draft.
Yeah, Heath, I think people lost some confidence in him late in the year. And even early in the year after his hot start, Mike Williams here. And I guess the point I would make is if you're streaky, it is a difficult start-sit decision if you're a streaky player. Do you think that's going to be a problem for Mike Williams?
Well, I mean, you know how I feel about this. Tyler Lockett's been my favorite player for like 5 years. I love Brandon Cooks. I don't care. I'm just starting those guys almost every week. But I think the thing maybe that's more of an indicator for Williams, and I don't know, I can't see what the week one, week two, like he wasn't drafted as a starter.
Right. That also contributes.
And he got off to an awesome start at the beginning of the year. He had 80 for 82 and a touchdown in week one, 77 for 91 and a touchdown in week two, 7 for 122 and 2 touchdowns week three. Like, and it might have been just about the point that he got up to 100% start percentage. He gave us that 11-yard game.
He was 53% started that week. He was 75% started in week three, 58 in week two, but only 4% started in week one. So that is part of it. Easy to say, just start him in a three receiver league with a flex, but in a two receiver league with a flex, I wonder, if fantasy managers should, I don't want to say they should avoid streaky guys, but it does give you that headache or you
it
might
your weeks.
It might, but it's definitely going to be a discussion for people. Hey, am I starting this guy? Boom or bust.
It always comes down to your roster construction. If you have some high floor players around him, then you're in good shape. If you're dealing with a lot of these guys, like you don't want to be starting Mike Williams and Tyler Lockett on the same team, or in this case, Mike Williams and Brandon Cooks on the same team. But, if you have, that's the reason why, Mike Williams and Brandon Cooks are more number two receivers, because you want to pair them with the more consistent high upside type of guys. And so,
Jamie, do you agree with this comment from Cowboys Choke? Starting Mike Williams is like playing Russian roulette.
Yes and no. I mean, I think as Dave alluded to, as new Dave alluded to, that, you know, they paid him, they didn't upgrade the position. You know, they're counting on Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer to hopefully take a step forward. You could say all you want to about Gerald Everett being an upgrade over Jared Cook, how much of an upgrade, you know, we'll see. But I mean, I think they're pretty much clearly counting on, and you know, if you're counting on Justin Herbert, you expect this to be the case as well. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler to carry this passing game to the same level that it did last year, which resulted in Justin Herbert going for 5,000 yards. And I think he'll be an MVP candidate this season. So this is a team that, you know, clearly has some defined roles for defined guys. And Mike Williams should hopefully produce at a high level. You know, you brought up the, I think it was an email from earlier this week about contract year guys. And, you know, and you mentioned Mike Williams specifically about someone to maybe be worried about, you know, after having the big year in a contract year. We'll see. It's certainly valid. He's had some injury concerns. He's had a lot of boom bust play. But, you know, last year felt like second year for Herbert. He finally put it all together. And I do think he's trending in the right direction. So he's a guy I would look at as early as round four.
Let's take a look at tight ends now. And what's your takeaway, Dave, from your tight end research?
Yeah, so tight end, I mean, an obvious one is Dalton Schultz. You know, at the beginning of the season, people weren't starting him. And obviously, as the season progressed, he was started more. You know, you guys, I see you have him ranked around, you know, the sixth tight end. So he was around 45%. But my tight end here is, again, another Arizona Cardinal, Zach Ertz. He came in at 48%, 58 of his 121 points used. And, you know, again, you're getting somebody in the later rounds. And with Hopkins being out, there's going to be more targets to go around for Murray. And another guy, you know, at 31, you know, the Cardinals ownership thinks there's plenty left in the tank for him. And, you know, he's coming off a big 3-year deal for $32 million. So they see, you know, some things left for him. And so, yeah, Zach Ertz.
Heath, there's a lot to like about Zach Ertz. In 11 games with Arizona, on a per-game basis, he was only 10th in non-PPR, but he was 6th best in full PPR. He caught only 3 touchdowns in those 11 games, but he got a ton of you know, red zone and green zone targets. From week 7 through 18, Ertz had the 10th most red zone targets and the 4th most goal-to-go targets in the NFL. However, his touchdown rate was very low, and DeAndre Hopkins barely played for that matter. But do you think Zach Ertz is a set it and forget it kind of tight end? You put him in your lineup, you don't even draft a second tight end, you just have Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, if you want to draft a second one that has more upside, I wouldn't have any problem with that. But I'm probably just starting Zach Ertz on a week-to-week basis. I'm not thinking about streaming. The interesting thing will be, you said it, he played most of his time with Arizona last year without DeAndre Hopkins. Now he's going to play the first 6 weeks of this season without Hopkins, but Marquise Brown will be there. So I'll be curious to see the first 6 weeks. Can Ertz have even close to the same target share? And then what happens when Hopkins comes back? Because I wouldn't be surprised if Brown and Hopkins see half the targets between the two of them once they're both good to go.
To be fair, though, Kirk was there, and now Kirk is gone. So,
yeah.
While Brown should be an upgrade over Kirk, we'll see.
And let's look at the other players on this tight end list compiled by Dave, who had a pretty low started fantasy point percentage and finished, you know, as a start-worthy guy. Dalton Schultz and Ertz have been mentioned. Dawson Knox, Hunter Henry, Pat Freiermuth. I mean, what do they have in common? When you're just fishing for a touchdown, those guys are going to be frustrating, right? So does that make sense? I mean, the touchdown or bust guys at the tight end position, you're going to be lucky if you had them in your lineup. There are going to be weeks where they score a touchdown and didn't have them in your lineup.
I think there's 4 of those guys. You mentioned 3. I'll put Robert Tonyan in the conversation too, because coming back from the ACL tear, that's what he was in 2020. And we know there's a path to targets for him now with, you know, the loss of Devontae Adams and Marcus Valdes-Scantling in Green Bay. So if you are, you know, tight end is so funny because, you know, I think we've noted this, you know, several times. There's 6 guys you should feel really comfortable with Schultz being the 6th, you know, the top 5 of Kelce, Andrews, Pitts, Waller, and Kittle. The next 3 could easily be top 5 guys. You mentioned one in Ertz. You got Dallas Goedert. You got TJ Hockenson. There's so much upside but we've seen the downside for all three of them, and they all have their red flags. But it's after that group, it's kind of just, I think, a dart throw in essence. It's like you said, you know, you're chasing the touchdown only guys of those four. You're chasing guys that could be heavily targeted. One, you know, that's kind of disgusting, but Evan Engram, for example. Maybe Irv Smith, you know, sees a bump in targets. I guess Irv Smith's probably more of a touchdown only guy. But Cole Kmet, you know, certainly is going to see an uptick in targets and has, you know, huge potential. Noah Fant, you know, you can see a path to a lot of targets there for him. Maybe Albert O in Denver too, you know. So there's so many guys, Gesicki, David Njoku, you know, so many guys that you can look at and say, you know, wait, great or late, you know, on who's going to be the best of that group. But it's fascinating. It's a really fascinating position.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. So before Absolutely. You go, you know, tell us about yourself, Patriots man.
Well, yeah, I'm a Patriots fan, as you can see from the chair behind me. So, you know, from the Boston area, and I have a wife and two kids. I got Claire, who's 7, and Kevin, who's 4. And I'm going to be pushing Kevin in the 4th of July race coming up on Monday. So looking forward to that. And he's the one that I've collected all these small helmets with behind me. It's been kind of a fun thing to do with him. So he loves football, and I enjoy watching it with him.
That's great.
Do you do your fantasy draft live with friends?
We don't do it live. Yeah, we'll usually do it towards the last week of August. And I'm always the one that starts my research pretty early.
I hope it helps, man. Well, thank you very much for hopping on and for doing all this research.
Thank you guys very much having me on. It was a thrill. I enjoy your show, and happy 4th of July.
All right, we're going to take a break here on Fantasy Football Today. We're going to come back with your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603. For complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Again, special thanks to Dave Costello for joining
us. New Dave
for joining us. And we're going to just finish up with your emails. Here we go.
No, we got to talk about our dynasty draft.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
Heath, how do you feel? So we've been waiting out your picks on what you're going to do with your first two picks because you tanked. Are you happy with how it's worked out?
Yeah, for the most part, I am. There have been a couple of hiccups in the second and third round, but I started off with Breece Hall at 101, and then I took Drake London at 102, and then I had a bunch of second round picks as well, and I traded my late first, pick 11, and pick 15, and pick 22 to move up to number 4 and get Garrett Wilson. Those are my top three players in this class. So you hope two of them turn into stars.
It's a pretty good start. Adam, it's a 14-team league, so that's why you say second round. So 15, 11 was still in the first round, obviously, but 15 and 22 in the second round. Adam, can you guess the first 10 picks? And if you get it right in order, I'll give you a spot in the podcast.
First 10 picks of your dynasty.
You know three of the four.
I don't know if I know the order, though.
Told you three of the four.
I just told you.
I wasn't paying attention.
The one, two, and the four pick.
I was writing a thank you email to Dave Costello. What were they again?
Did you welcome him to the club?
What club?
The club of people who do things because you say you're too busy.
Who else is in that club?
Well, one of them just left.
Let's see. Breece Hall.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get him in order. So let's just do it. Breece Hall, Ken Walker, Drake London, Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Christian Watson.
Not in the top 10.
Top 10. All right. He went to Dave with what, the 12th pick? What was it?
11th
pick.
11. That's the one Dave
traded. Not to Dave. Dave traded that pick for a first round pick, which was a fantastic trade.
Although Rob's team could be much better.
I mean, if Rob sets his lineup every week, he's a playoff team.
I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. I finish up. I want to read the emails.
First round went Breece Hall, Drake London, Ken Walker, Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Jahan Dotson, Sky Moore, James Cook was the top 10.
I'm still taking Christian Watson over Jahan Dotson. It's a fun rhyme-ish.
Yeah, it's it's interesting to compare Christian Watson and Amari Rodgers, I think.
It is?
Yeah, because I don't know pedigree-wise that Watson's that much better than Amari Rodgers.
Yes,
and Amari Rodgers, we were getting kind of excited about because he could be Aaron Rodgers' number two last year.
Pedigree is a tough thing to say when a guy played at FCS, but I mean, Amari Rodgers is a slot receiver. That's why I really liked him last year for the Packers. I just thought it made sense. He's just like a short area slot receiver. He was really dependable in college. Christian Watson is a different athlete. He's a gazelle. He's fast. He's big. He's an outside receiver. He's got major upside. He might stink. He might have major downside, but obviously Amari Rodgers does too. He was a non-factor last year. He couldn't beat out Randall Cobb. So there's no question. There's no comparison to me.
It's interesting. I don't know what the ADP is, Heath, if you know it, of rookie only drafts of Dotson, Sky Moore, and Christian Watson, and who goes first. I still think Watson probably goes first, but Moore is probably there, and Dotson, I would guess, is third. But
the last I looked, and I can find that really, really quickly, the last I looked, Sky Moore was ahead of both Watson and Dotson, but Dotson's gotten quite a bit of steam here lately. So I'm looking at Fantasy Pros, Breece Hall, Ken Walker, Chris Olave's third. This can't be right.
No.
It does show Chris Olave third and Christian Watson fourth. So I'll try to find a different source. We're not going to use Fantasy Football Calculator. 2022 ADP has Watson going ninth behind Sky Moore, ahead of James Cook, and two picks ahead of Dotson.
Adam, what do you think of these running backs and the order that they went in? Rashad White. Rashad White, Zamir White, Tyler Algier, Damian Pierce. That was the order.
Yeah, I think that's a good, if you're not playing for this year, I think that's a good order. Especially with Damian Pierce. I think he is really one dimensional. He and Algier ran 4.640s. That's alarming. I would go that order if you're not playing for this year. I think Pierce and Algier have a faster path to relevance. But I think the other guys have a year wait and then probably have a chance to, you know, be good, especially Zamir White in 2023.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact opposite. Okay. I was going to say maybe especially Rashad White I don't know what to make of Zamir White at all.
Somebody else want to join the show, Heath?
Yes. Tried to add somebody else, but trying to get a Zamir White sound drop. But he had two torn ACLs in college?
I thought one was in high school.
Okay.
We'll double check on that.
Two pre-NFLs, it's still not great.
But mostly, I think, like of that group, I think the odds of any of the four having like a 3 or 4 year run as a starter are really low. So I'd rather just draft the two guys who might get a chance to be starters this year and increase their value.
Yeah, that's fair. He tore his ACL in 2017 and 2018, right ACL in 2017. That must have been high school. Left ACL in 2018. He's pretty far removed from those.
Yeah.
Rashad White. Both these guys are, I don't know if I have a typo here or if they're both checked in at 6 foot, 214 pounds. It's possible.
Rashad White's a big boy.
Yeah, he's, I don't know. I mean, you probably, they're all day three picks, right? Or no?
Yeah, the thing that I think he said is interesting because, like, I could certainly see Tyler Allgeier getting replaced next year for an upgrade. I could see Rashad White either never getting a chance or being stuck on what could be a rebuild in Tampa Bay once Tom Brady retires. The thing that I find interesting with Pierce, though, and even Allgeier, is that if they do probably have their best bet to produce for you, it's probably this year. Mm-hmm. And so, like he said, you know, so do you take that opportunity? Zamir White is very fascinating because he could be, you know, from what the Raiders are saying, could be their guy, but it's probably going to be a shared backfield. I thought just real quick, Adam, before we wrap it up, a couple of surprise picks that I thought ended up being really good value. Isaiah Spiller going 21st overall because I think he should be in this conversation. He went a few picks behind them. I was thrilled to get David Bell at 26.
Yep.
I could not believe that.
Well, Adam's buddy took a giant before you, right? Opened the door.
Dan took a cool took a couple of guys I thought too soon. He took Tyquan Thornton at 14, which
wow.
To me, he's a third round guy. And then he took Wandale Robinson. Wandale's a second round pick, but I would have definitely taken David Bell. I
don't think you're going to be starting either of them this year.
Huh?
I don't think you're going to be starting David Bell or Wandale Robinson this year unless we're recording this on Friday. Remember, maybe there's going to be the Sean Watson news over the weekend. But
oh, I didn't. My team is not in need of David Bell, but I have him as a board. In a 14-team league, he's a first-round pick for me.
Wow. Okay. This is not a great year. Right?
No,
I don't know if he's
terrible
a top,
year.
I don't know if he's a top 14 guy in a normal year, but it's probably hard to find 14 guys you love. Okay. By the way, Rashad White now with the Bucks out of Arizona State, 43 catches as a senior last year. Let's read some emails from Bradley. Who is your favorite player at their ADP who you refuse to leave your draft without and that you expect to dominate this year?
At their ADP?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, I guess.
I mean, dominate is a strong word because we're going to say guys drafting late. Who'd you say, Heath?
I'll say Brandon Cooks.
I draft a lot of Nyheim Hines. I don't think he's going to dominate, but I like the value.
I'm all about that Broncos passing game.
You got to pick one.
Sutton.
Even though Judy's going to go so much later and Patrick after that?
So I don't really, well, I'm not into Patrick, really. I don't really know what to make of the ADP because
I don't know why you're not so much higher on Patrick.
I don't see him being a consistent contributor. I see him being a bi-week replacement.
But he could be a league winner if one of those guys get hurt.
All right, I can't play the whole if one of those guys gets hurt game. I mean,
no, but if you're going to draft
so many guys.
If you're going to draft one of these guys in every draft and Tim Patrick's going to be there in round 10, then you should do.
This is your strategy.
You are the
no, I'd rather
of
take
the friendship strategy.
I'd rather
this is
take
your strategy.
Sutton and Judy are going in round 6. I would rather take Sutton. I don't really know what to expect.
They're not
going to
go in round 6.
That's what I'm saying. Like I keep taking Sutton in round 4, but ADP says round 6. But I take him early round 4 when I have a late round 5 pick and don't think he's going to be there. But I don't know if I can
Judy
trust
will
ADP.
Probably unless if things don't turn around from him quickly in the start of training camp. He'll still be in round 6.
That would be great. I would be into that all the time. And Dalton Schultz right behind him too. All right.
I would say Alan Lazard for me also to answer this question.
This is a question, I guess, Heath, you can start. From Jake. In a situation like the Broncos, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, how do you do projections? Passed from the head coach, passed from the coordinator, the quarterback, combination. How do you do projections?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a complete and total guess, and it frustrates the heck out of me, and I hate it. And I end up just moving the guys more to probably using my projections less for that team. But it's a mixture for me of Hackett and Wilson. And like one of the toughest places, I think, is with running back targets on this team because they've got a bunch of wide receivers. We just talked about them. and a quarterback who hasn't thrown to his running backs that much, but they've got an offensive coordinator whose team has thrown to running backs a ton and been running back centric, in fact. So it's a very tough thing to do.
From Dustin, from the land of ice and snow. I don't know. Is that, what's Jon Snow's place? His little kingdom? Winterfell? What'd you say, Winterfell? Dear Percy, Cordaro, Stefan, and Justin. Oh, he's probably from Minnesota. I just started a new job, and apparently there is a large PPR league, 14 or greater, 14 teams or greater. I've never played in a league larger than 10 teams before, and obviously don't know how people will draft in this league. Can you give me any and all advice you could think of in this deep league so I can mop the floor with my coworkers? Deep league advice?
14?
14 or more. It's a little greater than 14.
I would say lean toward pass catchers. Take two early. And throw a lot of capital at running backs in the middle rounds.
Yeah, in that format, I'm probably going to end up punting until the double-digit rounds on either quarterback or tight end, and maybe both.
Yeah, definitely take advantage of the quarterback depth. All right, this is from Rob. I had a question about who I should take at certain rounds of the draft. So this is fun. He listed three players at each spot, basically, and you have to pick your favorite. Half PPR. Adams, Diggs, Kelsey.
And half PPR?
Yeah.
Kelsey.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown, T. Higgins.
Brown.
Brown.
Cam Akers, Ezekiel Elliott, Breece Hall.
Akers.
I think right now I have it Zeke.
Gabe Davis, Adam Thielen, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Davis.
Thielen.
I want to address someone in the chat here. His name is Don Saxby. And he rips me all the time because he says talk about Devontae Smith a lot. I don't even think that's true, by the way.
No.
So he just called me a bleep sack in the chat. And he said, how's Devontae Smith? So Don, if you're listening right now, I'd like to know, are you joking around with me? Do you not like me? I'd like to know your intentions here, Don.
I'm more interested in what his problem is with Devontae Smith.
He thinks I bring him up. Do you guys think I bring up Devontae Smith all the time?
Well, I mean, you just did.
You found a way to.
I was really just trying to bring up a bleep sack.
I think you should ask Don to do a whole project on why he thinks you're a bleep sack and come up with a spreadsheet and then maybe have him on. We could discuss it.
But I really don't think I do. I mean, maybe there was a while where I was obsessed with Devontae Smith, but not anymore. It's all Sutton.
Which word goes before sack? Is it a word that you would say if not part of this context without trouble?
Oh, yeah. It's just I couldn't say them both together, you know?
Okay. Is it a word we say a lot on the podcast, not in reference to this?
No, it's the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, pistachio, macadamia, Harlan Pepper, quit David Nuts. Okay. Jake says, make a haiku.
No, good one. That's this year?
Make a haiku of why Adam is not a bleep sack. I could that anybody wants to. Okay. If you're in the YouTube chat, make a haiku about why I suck and I will read it. Go for it.
Excellent. This is so glad I'm here.
Wow, you made it about you.
Yes, there you go. Wow, you made it about you. Is that six or seven syllables? That could definitely be the middle there.
Look at Adam. Made show about him, as always.
Not even close. This is from Conrad in a city that can be sleepless. You think it's New York or Seattle?
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Or Philly, home of Devontae Smith.
10-team 2QB league. Where we start four wide receivers and two running backs and a tight end and a flex. All right. Two QBs, four wide receivers, two running backs, tight end, flex, and it's 10 teams. How would you value the quarterback in this league?
Early.
I would like an elite quarterback.
Okay. From Ryan in Virginia Beach.
What was that?
I don't know. Virginia Beach.
Virginia starts with a V, right?
It does.
Who has a V in their name?
Vivante Smith, of course.
That was close. What'd you say?
Subject, am I a contender? 10-team, half PPR, 3 receivers, 3 flex. All right, am I a contender or should I be rebuilding? It's a 1QB league, by the way. He has Russell Wilson and Jalen Hurts. That's good. He has Barkley, Etienne, Dylan, Clyde, Pollard, and Edmonds. He has McLaurin, DJ Moore, Mike Williams, Michael Pittman, Chase Claypool, TJ Hockenson at tight end, and he has pick 102, which he's probably going to use on Drake London. Remember, it's 10 teams and it's half PPR.
You're a contender.
Yeah. This is the kind of team for sure that even if you're not sure, it's close enough to where you get to midseason and find out before you start doing anything with it. And the nice thing is it's okay to have a year in the middle if you're young and you're moving towards the top. The middle years are really a problem when you're old. If you get to the middle of the season and you don't think you're a contender, then trade Barkley and trade Mike Williams and keep the rest of the squad together.
Or you could package, you know, 2 players for hopefully one young up-and-coming superstar.
Is this a haiku? Adam sucks. We're missing some syllables. All right, this is from Team Fightin' Philly from Newport Beach, California. Can you please spend more time on Can you please spend more time on salary cap leagues? I love the snake draft shows. It would be awesome if you can help with salary cap strategies. Maybe at least touch on it once in a while. All right, Heath, go first. Give me some salary cap advice.
We should do a salary cap show. Like just a whole show.
We will.
Where we get ready for it. And I would like, I think one good way to think about it is, do I have a first round player? Do I have a second round player? Do I have a third round player? And in shallower leagues, especially in leagues where there's 3 or 4 guys in your league who aren't really going to pay very much attention, I would really like to get 2 first rounders and not worry about depth as much.
Do you agree with this? One of the struggles I have with salary cap episodes is much more so than in a snake draft. Salary cap drafts are just so different from draft to draft. You know, that's why it's hard to do the content, because obviously you can get some random wacky picks in a snake draft, but in a salary cap draft, it's just all bets are off and it's hard to really give concrete advice. Things are just so different.
I think you have to know who you are as a fantasy player. Like Heath, you know, touched on this a little bit. If you know you're going to be aggressive playing the waiver wire, then you could take some more chances on some high-end guys. If you know the rest of your league is going to be in the same situation, then you probably want to have a little bit more balance to your team so that you have some good guys on your bench to fill in, because the waiver wire might be a little bit more barren as the season unfolds. You know, so you have to kind of know your league. I think that's the biggest thing. If you're joining a league for the first time, then it just comes down to how aggressive you want to be. Like I'm typically the manager that doesn't have first-round picks because I like to have multiple seconds, multiple thirds, and multiple fourths. And so I balance my budget a little bit more that way. And then I go about building my team a different way. So I don't have the high-end superstar, but I have a very balanced approach with some guys that have some league-winning ability. That's typically the way I like to do a salary cap, roster. So it's more theory, I think, Adam, you know, is how you, you know, go about the content. You just use a salary cap draft. I think, you know, we've done a better job the last couple of years of doing 2 of them as opposed to just doing 1. For content purposes, you know, on the site. So mm-hmm. We usually do 1 early in camp and then 1 toward the end of camp.
And then as far as nominating strategy, I like Jamie's strategy of nominating your kicker and your defense and getting the ones you want or making somebody pay up for those. And then also, I really like to nominate the expensive guys that I don't want.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
It's very frustrating, though, when everybody now knows that I do that and they all do the same thing. Mm-hmm.
From Terrence in Ireland. When you get a chance, could you explain the ranking so low of Matt Ryan? I mean, Mills, Goff, even Trubisky ahead of Matt Ryan? I really don't get it, especially with the team and division he is in now, even though he's not a runner. Still, am I completely missing something on Matt Ryan?
Well, I think, you know, the thing for me with Ryan is, how much of last year was the offense and the situation, and how much of that was just him kind of hitting a wall at this point in his career? You mentioned he doesn't run. This isn't a receiving core that's very dynamic. It's Michael Pittman and a bunch of ifs and hopes. I like Alec Pierce. I'm hopeful for Paris Campbell. We'll see what they do at tight end. You know, Molly Cox looks like the starter going into the season. But their best player is Jonathan Taylor. Their second best player is Pittman, but you can make a case that Nyheim Hines is third. And so, you know, the strength of this team is in their backfield. And so I don't know how many touchdowns Ryan's going to throw. I don't think he's going to approach 4,500 yards. I don't know if he's even going to approach a 4,000-yard season. You know, so if I had a ballpark, I'd probably say 4,200 passing yards, maybe 25, 30 touchdowns. It just doesn't seem like an overwhelming stat season for a guy that's going to win games. And I think they're the best team in that division. But I just don't know if he's going to be the reason why, from a statistical standpoint, that they do.
This one comes from Chris from the 416. What do you think that is? 416 area code.
Illinois.
Devontae Smith played
out. Oh, come on, man. It looks like Kansas. No, it doesn't. Never mind.
Well, Devontae Smith played Alabama, so maybe it's in the South.
Okay, here we go. The question.
Wait, where was it?
I don't know why I can't find this.
Okay. We got to spend some more time on this.
You would think Toronto.
Area code.
What area code is 416?
It's Toronto.
Okay, so you can't find it.
Toronto. I think you're not supposed to say the T. Okay, from Chris.
Arano?
Yeah, Aranto. Hey, Eddie, Dave, and Alex. Three people I assigned work to.
Eddie Vedder, Dave Grohl, and...
Well, that could be. I don't know who Alex would be. Alex in Chains. I've listened to the show for a few years now.
Axel? Spelled wrong?
I don't... Maybe. I've never heard you guys talk about bye week strategy. I never pay attention to bye weeks when I draft, and I always find myself trading at a loss throughout the season to field a team on certain weeks. So what are your thoughts on bye weeks?
I only look at them for quarterbacks and tight ends if I take two. But the last thing you really want to do is necessarily build your team around that. If you take a loss in a week because you have a really stacked roster, that sucks, but I think you just live with it. But, you know, if you have a tiebreaker, let's say you're looking at Jefferson and Chase or Mike Williams and Cortland Sutton, you know, and the bye week is something that you already have too much of from your other rosters, other players on your roster, I guess Chase and Jefferson would apply. But, you know, when you get the middle rounds, you start to look at players that you have on your team and you have a lot of similar bye weeks. So maybe try to avoid it if it's a similar one. Or you have a lot of guys on the same bye week, you try to avoid a similar one, but I don't necessarily plan my draft around it.
I mostly just ignore it, unless it's like the FFPC or the Scott Fish Bowl or one of those leagues where the regular season ends before the bye is due.
This is Van Halen, by the way. Eddie Van Halen, David Lee Roth, and Alex Van Halen, apparently.
Huh.
I didn't know there was an Alex Van Halen. Here's a haiku from Federalist 45. Unfortunate host deals with Heath's melancholy more noodle than nut. I don't know what that last one is.
Am I melancholy?
I don't know. You've been a little grumpy lately. Last couple of days, you've been a little grump.
I think it's different. Like I've been, because mostly I'm making jokes. Grumpiness would not be joking about it.
They really bite. Like they're really harsh. You've been very harsh. All right, here's another question.
I apologize.
This one's from Luke. Dear Danny, Rusty, Linus, and Tess. Aerosmith. What is the argument? I'm just kidding. What is the argument that could be made for taking Justin Jefferson over Cup? And along that note, is it unreasonable to take a wide receiver with the second overall pick?
It's not unreasonable. Has our TikTok come out yet, by the way?
I'm not. I don't have a TikTok, so I will. I'll have to wait for somebody else to tell me.
TikTok debating the number two player.
Oh, really?
I just want you to say when I'm making those biting jokes, melancholy is the exact opposite of the way I feel.
Yeah, what do you, so Jefferson over Cup? What do you think? I know you don't rank it that way, but
one is ascending. One just had a career year at age 28. Those players usually regress. And Matthew Stafford's still recovering from elbow surgery.
It's also one of the coaches that helped Cooper Kupp become Cooper Kupp is now coaching the Vikings.
Yep.
And Justin Jefferson.
Danny, Rusty, Linus, and Tess were from the Oceans series.
Good
Oceans
show.
11. No, not a, not a show.
Which is your favorite, Adam?
Never saw them.
None of them?
Are they good?
The first one is amazing.
Yeah, and I don't know why I never saw. They feel I feel like
shows.
Feel like they're very my, long.
Can I tell you a story about my 12-year-old officially?
One more email. One more email.
Not becoming one of like my favorite kid anymore.
One more email.
One more email.
Okay, here we go. From I don't have a name. From Lucas in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
There we go.
Dear Michael Thomas, Calvin Ridley, AJ Brown, Jerry Jeudy, and DK Metcalf. In order, those are my three keeper wide receivers plus the wide receiver I drafted and the wide receiver I traded for mid-season, leading to my worst record in 25 years of playing. Michael Thomas, Calvin Ridley, AJ Brown, Jerry Jeudy, DK Metcalf. Here's a quiz and a deep keeper slash dynasty question. One, who was Emory Hunt's top college running back on your pre-draft podcast? Two, what round was he drafted? Three,
this year or last year?
This year. Three, what team is he on? And four, what are his chances to be his team's number two running back this year and number one running back next year? So just for everybody else out there, who was Emory Hunt's top college running back on your pre-draft podcast? What round was he drafted by which team? And what are his chances to be his team's number two running back this year and number one next year? I forgot, remember. By the way.
I was not on the show.
It was Jayshon Corbin out of Florida State. He went undrafted. He is now on the Giants. And what are his chances to be his team's number two running back this year and number one running back next year?
Slim,
you're looking for a place with little competition to be the number two. That's a good place to be.
I know. Get a warm body there. Probably considering undrafted, probably slim to none, but that you're right. That is of all the running back, I mean, who has a worse handcuff situation than
who's third on the depth chart right now? Is it him?
Antonio Williams, Matt Breida,
Gary Brightwell.
Gary Brightwell.
Put those in whatever order you would like.
I don't think Matt Breida comes in and starts like toting the rock a lot, you know? All right. So good question. Jayshon Corbin.
I'll just sign Frank Gore.
Jordan Howard or something.
Probably pick Zach Moss up when the Bills cut him.
Yeah, probably. All right, Heath, what do you got? Your
Didn't he have a dynasty question?
That was his dynasty question. It was about Jayshon Corbin.
Oh, it was part of the trivia.
Yeah.
Do you remember who Emery's second favorite running back was last year?
Puka Williams.
No.
Or was he his third?
His second was fourth. Michael Carter.
Oh, cool.
There we go.
What do you got here?
Do you like Michael Carter over Najee? I know you like Carter a lot.
No, I don't think so. Maybe he had ETN number one. I know he likes guys who catch the ball.
I think he had Carter first.
Maybe. Heath, what do you got? What's your story?
So, like, Lucas, I told you we have this thing, and you said that I was a bad parent for letting him watch Stranger Things. and fine. He's watched the first three seasons like seven times. We've watched all the originals together. We've been talking about having a little Stranger Things watch party today.
I know where this is going this afternoon. I'm sorry.
We wake up to a text message. He was at his grandmother's last night. We wake up from a text message like 1 or 2 in the morning. One of his friends had texted him about a 4th of July basketball tournament he wanted to play in. And sorry, I know I'm up late. I'm just waiting for Stranger Things to release so I can watch it.
Yeah. That is
he watched
so bad.
Stranger Things while I was sleeping.
How did you feel, honestly?
What?
How did you feel?
Melancholy? Betrayed.
Melancholy.
I just texted him and said I'm going to have to update the power rankings.
You weren't mad, though?
Mad?
Yeah.
No, just hurt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where read some haikus.
There was the only one I saw. I wrote one, though. Adam Scott Azer. hardest working podcast host, great delegator. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of that's really true.
Good. You are one of those things, true. Yeah.
I am Adam Scott Azer. That is correct. All right, guys. Thanks. Have a great 4th of July, everybody. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. With
what time are we doing the emergency pod?
With the toughest players for what? Something happened?
Well, I'm sure something will.
Something will happen.
Holiday week, 4 hours. Me pending.
The toughest players to project Tuesday's show. Talk to you then.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.